Welcome back in, everyone, to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are so excited about the show that we're speaking about on today's episode. We're going to one of our favorite theaters here in New York, and joining us to talk about this show, we are so pleased to be welcoming back the actor Kirk Kaskowski, and welcome in director David Zayas Jr. They're here to talk to us about the Chain Theater's presentation of Simpatico, which is playing June 6th through the 29th at the Chain Theater. And you can get your tickets and more information by visiting chaintheater.org. We love everything that happens down at the Chain Theater. If you're looking for a great sandbox to go check out, this is the one. And this upcoming production is no exception to that rule. It's a wonderful, wonderful show by the great Sam Shepard. And I think the perfect people who can go more into this and speak more intelligently is our guest. So why don't we welcome him on? Kirk, David, welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you, Andrew. It's a pleasure to be back.
Hi, thank you. Thank you.
I'm so excited to have both of you here. It's so good to welcome you back, Kirk. And we've got this great show that you're bringing by Sam Shepard, a beautiful show called Simpatico. Super excited about this. Kirk, why don't we start by having you tell us a little bit about what Simpatico is about?
It's a really great play. I've never seen it done before. I think it's not revived that often. It's a difficult piece, but it's an incredibly fun one, and it has all the trademarks of what makes the Sam Shepard show a Sam Shepard show. Quite frankly, I'm surprised I'm not seeing it more. It hasn't been revived really in a big way since about 2017, from what I've seen. And apologies to any other productions that I don't know about, but that's just my research at the moment. It's about two guys who ran a con together about 15 years ago, and the repercussions of what that's done to their lives. And in that great Sam Shepard way, one has built up his life and the other one's still kind of in stasis from the time 15 years ago. He hasn't been doing well. He's kind of down and out. They come back together because they were old friends. And you see that shift that you see in so many Sam Shepard plays where their personalities combine and divide. And I think that's something very unique that he was able to do, that so few playwrights could really, really portray the same way that he did, is that he had such an understanding of how people can be so different, but at the same in a lot of ways.
Love that. Now, Kirk, not only are you an actor in this production, but if I remember it, you're the director of the Chain Theater.
Yeah, so, I'm the artistic director.
Yeah. So how is it that you picked this piece to do?
Well, we love Sam Shepard. I've always loved Sam Shepard. He's been a huge part of my life since I became an actor. I've always enjoyed his pieces. I've been lucky enough to do a few of his shows, and we produced Fool for Love here too. It was the second production that the Chain Theater ever produced as far as a main stage production. I did True West out east in a production that's very close to my heart that was very well received. I played Austin in that production. And, you know, over time, I'd like to keep doing his plays, you know, intermittently and bring them back. I was very fortunate to have met Sam very briefly once, which was a great experience for me. And anytime that anybody does one of his shows, I want to be there. We haven't done a revival production in about 7 years here as a production company. We've been producing new work or been like the New York City premiere or world premiere of new plays. But this play came across my desk again, and it just felt right. And it felt like we had the right team. And working with David on our last production of Goddamn House, actually, well, this two productions ago, last season, I should say, working with David, I was like, we really should do a Sam Shepard show together. And was looking for something. So this is really exciting.
That is amazing. And that is a great way to bring in our other voice here, David Zayas Jr. You are making your directorial debut with this piece, or off-Broadway directorial debut, if I may. How is it that you came upon this show?
Well, luckily, when we worked on Goddamn House, we worked so well together that we just formed a bond, and I formed a bond with Chain Theater for a while, even before that. And Kirk and Christina came to me and asked me to direct this show, and I gratefully said yes. And I was excited for it, and I can't wait for everyone else to see it.
That is wonderful. Now, at the time of us, you know, sitting down and chatting, we are just under 2 weeks from the show beginning performances. David, what's it been like you know, developing the piece, getting it up on its feet?
It's been a ride. It's been really fun and enjoyable. We really have a great team. Everyone gets along. There's been not many, like, the usual bumps of the road putting up a production, but with the team, it's been amazing. And it's different. It's a little different for me because I never directed anything that I couldn't talk to the writer. And so I am taking most of Sam Shepard's writing and putting my opinion into it and giving my version of it. And everyone is collaborating together and talking about it. And we're putting our own spin on this. So we're keeping his writing respected, obviously.
Wonderful. I want to snowball off of that and ask you, David, you know, what is the message or thought you hope that audiences will take away from this?
I mean, to me, a lot of characters, they think one thing and then something else happens. They always assume something, they know everything, and then it just changes. And I want everyone that watches this play to feel like they're torn between who they're rooting for throughout the whole show. And if we could do that, if we could pull that off, that's what I want. I want people talking about it when they leave the room. And I want people to feel like, I was rooting for this person, but I felt more for this person. And I just want mixed feelings about everyone with a main message of, like, change and what regret can hold on to someone for so long. And then when they're released, what do? Like, what's the change in their character? Do they change completely or do they stay the same person?
That's a really great idea. I love that. Kirk, let me ask that same question to you. What is the message or thought you're hoping people take away from this?
Well, I think David really said it eloquently, but I think it's a ride, you know? I think I want people to have a good time. I think that this is the kind of piece that isn't being done so regularly right now. And I think people want to just come and take the ride. We've been tackling a lot of big ideas and topics lately as a theater company. And although the message for the characters is very, stakes are very high throughout, it's not a confrontational piece the way that we necessarily always do. I think I just want people to come and have a good time and delve deep into what the characters and what this writing is and this type of theater. It's a cool piece. It is. And it's a different take on somebody that you may or may not know. But whoever we can introduce Sam Shepard's writing to, I'm happy to do that.
I love that. And it's a great lead into my final question for this first part, which is, who are you two hoping have access to this production of Simpatico? And Kirk, I want to stick with you first on that, if I may.
Yeah, I mean, everyone, general theater audience. And since Mr. Shepard's plays are, you know, True West is being done regularly, but a lot of his plays aren't being done regularly at the moment. And post-pandemic, I don't know if there's been a big production. You probably know better than me, Andrew. You get to see a lot more theater than I do, honestly. But I think I want to introduce it to a younger audience that maybe has not had a chance to see his work, but also the people that love this kind of stuff, that they can come out and see it again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. David, what about you? Who are you hoping to have access?
I want anyone that wants to come, anyone that loves theater should come see, because it's a classic play and it's our own spin on it. And I want people to check it out. And there's been so many people that come up to me that never seen Sam Shepard before, and they're excited to come see this one. And there's people who love Sam Shepard and come to me and they're like, I cannot wait to see this one. And even people who are horse fanatics, even though it's mostly about relationships, they want to come see it too. So it's kind of funny that I'm getting kind of aspects of all directions, but I want anyone to come see it and enjoy a show. Just enjoy it and come out feeling something.
I think Shepard's work is really good for a movie going audience as well. It's a play, it is theater, but if people are just used to musicals, or I think it's a good gateway. I think when I was younger, it was a really good gateway for me, being a movie fanatic, and then reading his plays to seeing them, it really was like, oh, this is what theater is. This is kind of like, it's oh, maybe like in the verbose kind of, it's not Quentin Tarantino-esque, but because his movies are verbose, that seeing a play doesn't seem so crazy if you like Quentin Tarantino movies, you know? I think it's a good gateway for people that necessarily haven't seen a lot of theater shit.
Second part of our show, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. And Kirk, of course, we've had you on antique times, it feels like. But David, this is the first time we've gotten to have you on. So I want to start with you and ask, who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or are just some of your favorites?
Well, I kind of grew up in a theater around Stephen Atterdegerges. My dad, Dave Zayas, my mom, Liza Zayas. So they inspire me all the time. They're so supportive. I talk to them almost every day, my parents. And so they pushed me first to watch many movies and much theater growing up since I was like 9 years old. So, or even younger than that, my dad used to sit me down and go, "You haven't seen Dog Day Afternoon?" And it was 10, and I was 10 years old, and he would sit me down and watch Dog Day Afternoon. And stuff like that. And I kind of grew up into it. And so I fell in love with it even when I was a teenager. And I had no idea. I was sitting next to like Philip Seymour Hoffman when he directed, and not knowing that I was taking all that in. And I'm grateful that I was. And I didn't even know I was taking it in. So I'm glad that some of it rubbed off, even from all these amazing artists that was around. And I got to work on a set, a movie set, TV show set. I learned from there, and I fell in love with it forever now. So I'm deep in now. I'm done. No real jobs for me unless I'm in art and in theater and in movies. So
yeah. That's a wonderful answer. That's a wonderful answer. Some great inspirations, Kirk. I want to ask you. You know, the theater world is changing and changing rapidly. What changes are you most excited for or wish to see come about?
I mean, it's a whole new world since the pandemic, right? But it's also a very interesting one. And we've had a real opportunity here to expand and see new audiences, new people coming into the theater. Our business has grown tremendously. We have 4 theaters now here, rehearsal studios. I'm excited for where we're at. I know it's difficult. I know it's difficult for a lot of companies right now. But I think that the types of shows we do, these intimate productions, are really capturing people, and they're a way of trying out new ideas and new shows without blowing your budget, and exploring new ideas and finding like what this next generation of theater holds. I think we're at this precipice right now. And it's a really cool time. I think we've also, through our one act festivals and our other events, have been able to give an opportunity to a lot of new artists. I mean, I think there was over 300 people involved in the last festival, but also that has given us an opportunity to work with people like Jesse Eisenberg, directed his first play during that one act festival. I think people are finding the value in theater in this whole different way. And also, you know, AI might be able to write scripts or fake actors or whatever that we're going to be worried about moving forward. But if you're on that stage, you know, you're on your own. There's no way to fake it. You know, maybe you could, but we'd know. The theater is in your face. You're breathing the same air. You're in a room full of strangers, and you're all doing something together collectively. And there's just no way around it. You can't do it at home. You got to come here.
Yes, absolutely. It's a wonderful answer. I've seen a couple of shows that not only have dealt with AI, but have actually used AI in their show. It's something we're going to have to battle going forward. But I agree with you. You can't put AI on the stage and it be the real thing. It's not human. You can't breathe with it. You can't emote or connect with it, you know? So
I'm with you.
Well, now we've arrived at my favorite question to ask guests. And that, of course, is what is your favorite theater memory? Well, Kirk, of course, in your case, what's another favorite theater memory of yours?
I got the one of my favorite plays was Jesus Up the A Train. And I've been in Lambert Theater Company as a member. And last year they celebrated their 30th anniversary. And I got to direct a reading of Jesus Up the A Train with some of the original cast, Common, and some other people that joined, and it was at the chain. And it was one of the best readings I ever directed, and somehow felt like a production. And after every scene, everyone applauded. And I was sitting, it was me, an empty chair, and Stephen Aligurgis. And at the end of the play, he leaned over and told me that Phil would have been proud. And then we did a Q&A, and thank God no one asked me a question, because I would have cried on the stage. And it would have been, because I got to direct my dad, I got to direct John Ortiz, I got to direct Liz Canavan and Common and Eric Benincourt, and it was amazing. And it was kind of felt like a dream. And we only had two rehearsals. And after the first rehearsal, I had a dream, and I switched everything to what I dreamed, to setting the stage up. And they were like, really? I was like, yeah, we got to do it. And it ended up the way it was. It was amazing. And it was, luckily, here at the chain, in the same theater, we're going to do Sympatico at. So it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, if I could piggyback that, I mean, for me, that was a big deal, too. Because that show means so much to me. Stephen's writing means so much to me. Your dad's work in that. Oh, my God. He's so good.
I know.
He's so
It's scary. Good. It's weird.
Watching people that I grew up admiring to no end and held up on a pedestal, like that the world has come to the point that like Labyrinth was at the Chain Theater to do their 30th anniversary. And that event happened here with the original cast. And John Ortiz, getting to see John Ortiz. I mean, how old is the character supposed to be?
I don't even know, early 20s?
And John Ortiz, you know, you've seen him in so many different things, playing so many different characters. And like, he immediately jumps to being like 20 years old again. Immediately. His energy, his fire, the way he throws lines, and getting to meet him. And he came back and saw A Will to Live, when a show that I adapted last season. And getting to meet these people has been just, and talking to John Ortiz about Labyrinth, and he immediately, you know, it's silly to me that I keep having the same revelation over and over again, but like, it's just, he went through everything that I'm going through. He immediately is like, okay, so what about this? What about that? And like, mm-hmm. we're talking shop immediately, because he knows what it is to be an artistic director in your own space and trying to keep this whole ball rolling. But that was a wonderful memory.
And he's so super supportive. He actually texted us, wishing us luck on this play, and hopefully he can come see it. So.
Those are fabulous memories. Wow. Thank you both for sharing those. Well, as we wrap things up, I would love to know, do either of you have any other projects or productions coming down the pipeline we might be able to plug for you?
I'm editing a short film right now called Orion by the playwright that wrote Goddamn House. And we're going to try to put it into festival circuit and see how that goes. And I think that's it for me. So for now, I'm trying to put up a couple more short films too.
Chain Theater has the Chain NYC Film Festival starting on July 25th through August 4th. We're going to be showing over 150 films from all over the world. This will be our 12th year doing that. That festival just keeps growing. And then also in August, we'll be doing our Summer One Act Festival, which submissions will be opening for very shortly if you stay on our website or join our newsletter. All playwrights would love to have you. And we had a record-breaking amount of submissions last winter, so hopefully we can break that record again this summer.
Amazing. Some great projects both of you have going on that we need to keep tabs on. And that's a great lead into my final question, which is, if our listeners would like more information about Sympatico or about either of you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
If you want more information about Sympatico, check out chaintheater.org. That's theater spelled with an R-E at the end, the English way of spelling it. You can check out our website. You can check our Instagram, follow us on social media. Our Instagram handle is at Chain Theater NYC. We're on Facebook as well. I hope people are still using that. I still like that platform. We're not so much updating the Twitter anymore, or X, or whatever it's headed towards.
And I mean, same for the show. And for me, you could follow me on Instagram, Davey Zayas Jr., or at DZCS4U.
Wonderful. Well, Kirk, David, thank you both so much for taking the time to speak with me and for sharing this fabulous production. I can't wait to see it. I will be there with bells ringing. It's going to be a wonderful evening, and I know this is going to be a huge success. So congratulations in advance, and thank you both for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. So good to see you again.
My guests today have been the incredible actor Kirk Gaskowski and the director David Zayas Jr., who joined us to talk about the Chain Theater's presentation of Simpatico. It's playing June 6th through the 29th at the Chain Theater, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting chaintheater.org. We also have some contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting on our episode description as well as on our social media post. But hurry now, get your tickets. They're going to sell out. I'm telling you, this is going to be a fabulous production. The Chain Theater does wonderful works. You are not going to want to miss it. Join us for a Stage Whisper night out at the theater. Again, the show is Simpatico, playing June 6th through the 29th. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies,
and keep talking about the theater
in a Stage Whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.